You have a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. If you're old enough, you remember a Saturday Night Live skit where a guy would wear a really baggy sweater, Stuart Smalley, and he would look in the mirror and he had affirmations for himself. Say, because you're smart enough, you're good enough, and doggone it, people like you. That's not exactly what I'm saying. You is smart, you is kind, you is important. No, it's even better than that. You have a gift given to you from God Himself, a unique gift. You have a gift. The premise for this series, as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the one that's living within every believer, is comes from John 14, 16, and 17. It says this, Jesus is talking. He said, then I will ask my Father, and He will give you another helper. He will be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive Him. It doesn't see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He lives with you and will be within you. Jesus is giving comfort to His disciples as He's getting ready to leave the earth. And He's saying, don't worry, I'm not leaving you orphan. I'm going to send you another helper, a replica in same form, kind of same fashion, same spirit as I have. I'm going to send you a helper. Don't do anything till you receive the helper. Y'all need help, was what Jesus was saying. And He didn't leave us alone. He said, it's good that I'm going away. I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you the Spirit. And it's good for us to be reminded that the Spirit comes into your life when you believe upon Jesus Christ. That you can, by faith, accept Christ as your personal Savior. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was sent to the earth, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He lived this sinless life, and then He became sin and killed sin on a cross so that we wouldn't have to die because of our sin. And then the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It raised Him from the dead. And He said that anyone who believes in Me does not have to perish, but can have everlasting life. Salvation is not a feeling. Salvation comes by faith. And anyone here today, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you can receive Him even right now by faith, by trusting His Word. Now, some people, when they accept Jesus, they have a feeling, a sensation. They feel a weight has been lifted. Some people can describe it very well. They say, this warm feeling started at the top of my head and it went down to the sole of my feet. How many of you, when you got saved, you had some kind of feeling? That's great. How many of you, when you accepted Jesus, didn't really have any feeling? Okay? But then the next day, you were changed. And over time, that Spirit, see, you don't have to have a feeling. You receive Him by faith. Be very careful at having to have a feeling. We don't seek after feelings. You hear somebody say, I was laying under the piano, and the Spirit of God came upon me. And then you're like, well, I'm going to go lay under the piano and try that myself. How many of you know if you're married, that every now and then when you're married, you get a feeling from the top of your head to the sole of your feet? Glory to God. I'm glad I got a witness over here. But not every day. It was, do you have that feeling, son? He's like, yeah. And not every day. It was, yeah, that's real true. My wife said a hearty amen in the first service today. I did not appreciate that. But we choose to love one another. That's how you stay in love. You choose to love. And you choose, I accept by faith that God is true. And whether I feel anything ever again or see anything ever again, I believe in His Word. And when I believe in His Word, when I trust in Him and give Him my life, His Spirit comes into me and starts to change me, changes my mind, changes my desires, starts to impact and transform my life from the inside out. And the same one who began that work will be faithful to complete that work. He's doing a work on the inside of us. This is why it's so important. Jesus described it this way in John 3:3. He said this, Jesus answered and said, listen, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he describes it in greater detail. He said, okay, listen, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, that which is born of flesh is flesh, little babies, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're here today and you're born again, it's a work that the Spirit of God has done in you when you open yourself up to him. And he's living with you and is within you. And what's he doing in there? Who is he? What does he want? And what's he want to do through you and in your life? We find out today, as we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, more about what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now let me, by way of reminder, if you're not familiar with this letter that Paul wrote to this church in Corinth, this church, a gathering like ours, people with the same nature as ours, same Jesus, same Spirit, but they were on the struggle bus, my teenage daughter would say. And Paul, being the pastor and father, spiritual father of these people, his heart went out to him. And he heard of some of the things that they were doing, and they needed to be corrected. So most of this letter to the Corinthian church is a letter of correction. In chapter 11, just before the one that we're going to read, he's actually addressing the fact of what they're doing in communion. They would gather together. They're supposed to be remembering Christ, but some were getting drunk and some were getting none. They were giving preferred seating, it appeared, to the rich, to the wealthy, and to the famous, while the poor were outside in the garage at the card table. You know what I'm talking about. Paul was addressing all of these issues as a father, as one who loved them. And you'll even hear this in this chapter, his heart for the people to be unified, to care for one another. There's this sense when Paul talks about the spiritual gifts. Don't get too enamored with all the gifts and forget about one another. One another is why we have the gifts, to serve one another for the common good, to advance God's kingdom. This chapter could be summed up in, it's not about you. Amen? It's not about me. It's about his kingdom and his glory and his gift. And it's so common, especially nowadays, for people to get off. I don't want you to be unaware of the spiritual gifts. Paul says, I don't want you to not know about them. I don't want you to be confused about them. And I'm telling you, there is much confusion about spiritual gifts in the church today. Here's where he begins. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start in verse 4. Here's what it says. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There are a variety of people in the room today. Have you noticed that? Have you looked down the row? You peeked, didn't you? Like, who are these people? We're the body of Christ, and God loves the variety. One day, every tribe, tongue, and nation will gather around him and worship, and what he'll get a thrill out, not just the glory that we're going to give him, but the variety of the glory that we'll give him. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We struggle with diversity. We struggle with people who are different as human beings at times, but God doesn't. Amen. Variety. You might even have the same gifting as the person next to you. Some people have a gift, say, of administration. An administrative gift is able to organize things and clear the path. Aren't you thankful for those weird people? I mean, some of us just go around making messes. We need people. Follow me. Clean this up. But your gift of administration will look different than somebody else who has that same gift. Even in that, there's variety. The world has never seen what it looks like for the Spirit to come through you. Because you refract and reflect him in a way that's different than anyone else. And he loves that variety. But yet we fit together in his body for the common good. I have to say that one of the greatest thrills for me personally of I'm so thankful that God allows me to pastor. One of the greatest thrills is to see the variety of giftings in people. It's way more thrilling to watch people. Were you here at SOS at one of the services, or did you serve? And did you see this at SOS? My wife and I were down in the front row one night, and we were watching these kids jump and dance, and we were jumping with them, man. We were trying to keep up. It was a sweaty, nasty mosh pit down here. Man. And we got to see all of the gifts of all of the people, the preachers and the singers. Oh, man, it was so wonderful to watch how the Holy Spirit would work through people. I mean, you think of this worship team that we worship with this morning. Volunteers, most all of them. And they just lead out and sing and they play. Wouldn't you love to be able to play the guitar like this guy over here? For the glory of God. The way that God comes through people uniquely in their own gift. It's such a thrill to see that. I wish that I could take our staff, the people that I know really well, and march them across the stage, each and every one of them, and point out to you, oh, look at the gift here, look at the gift here, look at the gift here. I feel that's God's heart, that each one of us have a gift, and when it comes out, expresses itself for the good of all, it's beautiful. And it's even more beautiful when it's more varied. The more different the gift is from what the gift that you have, the more appreciation it seems you have for it. We did a survey not long ago, and the person who is in charge of the survey loves to do research. Did you know that there's people like that? Isn't that awesome? And then this person was telling another person, one of their friends just happened to be talking about, yeah, we've got a lot of data entry that we need to do for this, and blah, 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 and all this work we got to do for this survey. And this person got really excited. Did you say data entry? Oh! And I'm like, are you for real right now? Aren't you glad somebody in the body of Christ gets excited about data entry? And they, for the glory of God, man, they're put, praise the Lord. Admit, that would never get done if it were up to you. Be honest. But there's a variety of gifts that actually happens. Oh, I'd love to put that curriculum together. Really? It's curriculum. Are you sure? Oh, could I create a syllabus? Oh, my gosh, yes. Some of you are teachers. We need lots of teachers. I'm not really even a teacher. I'm more of an exhorter. I want to just spur people on to action. But we have lots of places for teachers. But you know, when you're being taught, you want that person to have the gift of teaching. Have you ever been in a class where the teacher didn't have the gift? You wanted to sharpen your pencil and fall on it. Right? Or somebody who gets up, you've been in church service before, if you've been in church long enough, at some point in some smaller church, they say, before they sing this song, they say, before they hit the tape, you know how they do that? Hit the tape. Let this minister to your spirit. I'm like, uh-oh, that means it's not going to minister to my ears at all. You might not have the gift. Other people get up, and maybe they don't sing that well, but there's just this anointing that they've got to do it. It's just an amazing thing. I was in the lobby of the church in Houston where we served. We had some very large outreaches that we were doing. At one day, we would feed like 16 to 18,000 people a hot meal, preparing for this outreach and many other outreaches. Beware of meeting a pastor in the lobby. I come up to this gentleman. His name is Cliff. At that time, he was 65 years old. I knew this about Cliff. I knew he was a workman. He had the ability to work for workmanship, to build things. Everything you see here has been built by volunteers and all over the church. If you have that gift to build things, I have the gift to break things. But if you have the gift to build things, you could do that for the glory of God. And I knew he had that gift. I also knew that he had recently retired. So he had some time. I also knew that he had been a supply sergeant in the Army some years ago. And somebody's excited about a supply sergeant in the Army. Way to go. All right. Listen, there's something about a supply sergeant in the Army. You want to get something from them that you can't get it if you don't sign for it, if you don't eye retina scan you, and they're like serious about it. And at this church, we had this warehouse that was a big mess, and we had coolers, and we had all this outreach material. And you know, Christians are, they steal things in the name of Jesus. Y'all come around to the church, it's like, oh, it all belongs to the church. We'll bring it back. Yeah, when Jesus comes back. You know who you are. It's like, it's all good. We're just Christians. No, you're a thief. So I knew. I knew. We needed a supply sergeant who was going to watch all these great Christians around here. So I go to him and I pitch this idea, will you serve, will you come, and man, what's going to happen, lives are going to be changed, and he just said, nah, I'm not interested. I was like, dang. But as I was walking away, I just like, get him, Jesus. Lord, it's not my church, it's your church, and your church needs that man to serve in that capacity, so just get him. It's a mean thing pastors do. So I went back to my office, and I'm not kidding, a week later, who comes to my office but Cliff? Huh, Cliff, what do you need? He comes in, he said, you know, we were talking about the other day. I was like, yeah, I remember. He said, I think I would like to do that. Like, God got him. And let me tell you that Cliff, we'd go to lunch and eat barbecue on Thursdays. That's what I had to pay Cliff. We had to go to lunch and eat barbecue. This brother cleaned that warehouse out. And he got everything dress right, dressing. You weren't getting a cooler from that man unless your name, address, phone number, everything was on there. He had it all organized. And when it came time for the outreach, he had actually invented things to make the process easier. He would take me over to a table and he would show me, true story, Rob, we can open 16 cans of them big green beans at this table with this many volunteers. How in the world did you do that? He built it. I'd come out to the outreach and it's all going smooth. And you know, pastors don't really work but about one day a week. So I'd go out there on that day and everything was going smooth. And people pat me on, man, Pastor Rob, this outreach is going. But I knew it was Cliff. It was his gift. And the hardest part about leaving that church was leaving those people who you'd invested in and known and cared for. And you got to see, Cliff never wanted to preach. He didn't want to stand on a stage. He didn't want to work with kids. Kids hated him. I'm not sure that's true, but if kids do hate you, please don't work in the kids' ministry. He didn't need to do this. He didn't need to play an instrument. He had his inclination. God bless you. That was a good one. He had his inclination, what came easy to him, what he enjoyed, the way that God had designed him. And by the way that God had designed him, he used that gift for God's kingdom. And he put in more hours than, I'm telling you what, and he was a huge blessing. This is exactly what Paul is describing in Scripture, a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit working towards the same end, which is God's glory and his church, his kingdom. I like running into people and seeing you all out all over town and seeing the shock kind of register on your face that I actually go to UDF or wherever I'm at. Like I just like live here, like there's a cot and I just come out and they wind me up and I'm like, all right, great. And I go back. I see you at Walmart and Kroger and sometimes people will say, I love your services. Folks, it's not my services. It's our services. It's a body. I hate when people say, I don't need the church. It breaks my heart. The church needs you. We don't fit together without one another. We need one another. And people say, I don't know how you do that, how you do what you do. I just do what I'm just a mouth in the kingdom of God. That's what I do. That's a gift. It's a grace gift that God has given me. And it's easy and I'm inclined to it and it's fun. And as a matter of fact, this is the last service. And I'm always bummed about this time because if my body wouldn't give out, I would do this all day, every day. Except I need a nap, so I would take one. But I absolutely love it. And God has something for you that you're inclined towards, that you love. And then the thrill is that you get to sense his Spirit moving through you to do what you would naturally do anyway, but it's for the blessing of other people and the building of his kingdom. And you feel this fittedness together. It's not my service. It's our service. It's his service. It's all of us together. The gifts are given and displayed in glorious variety. He just loves the variety. That's why he did it. That's why he created everything he created with great variety. Because God takes pleasure in variety. He loves the accents of people from Kentucky. Variety. And those from New York, yes. Even Puerto Ricans, yes. Raul, when you hear this message, yes, yes, all of the variety. Here's some of the gifts that are listed here. Not a comprehensive list, but some of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 11. Listen, it says this. To one, there is given through the Spirit, here is emphasis there, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So there's this myriad of gifts, myriad of moments where the Spirit will even come upon you and give you that gift, much like when Peter was walking to the synagogue and there was one who was there who was sick, and he was begging. And he said in that moment, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. And he reached down and he picked this guy up, and this guy was healed in that moment. And we read that story and we think, man, these disciples walked around with nonstop, constant healing power. In that moment, he was given by the Spirit the gift of faith. It does not say that then he went around town looking for other lame people to pull up. I got the pullingupministry.com. Let's go. No. In that moment. There's a moment where you're dealing with your children, God will give you a word of wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. A word of knowledge. He'll show you things. You'll be able to discern whether the Spirit is right on a thing or not. It's not that you walk in complete faith. Not even Abraham walked in perfect faith, folks. But there's moments where the Spirit is there and He'll give you that gift. We should be aware of these gifts. They're varied, but they're the same Spirit. Then another list that Paul mentions in his letter to the Romans, it says this in Romans 12, 4 through 8. Listen to this, a cool list here. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. I love this part of this, what he's writing here. Now, if it's serving or helping, then serve, help. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I love the simplicity of this. Man, if you have the gift of telling, prophesying is telling the truth of God's word, then tell the truth of God's word. And if you have the gift of teaching, then praise God, teach. If you have the gift of helps, then help. Actually, Scripture talks about giving and says, command those who are rich among you to be generous. So this is a great opportunity for me as a pastor who prophesies, preaches, and tells the truth about God's word. For those of you who are rich among us, I'm commanding you. Be generous in Jesus' name. If you have the gift of generosity, don't squelch that gift. Be generous. And if you're going to exhort, man, go for it. Be an encourager of people. Be a Barnabas everywhere. Find out ways to write cards. Find out if you cook for God's glory, then you cook. And if you can't make food, please don't. Let somebody else do that. What is he saying? Man, if you've got the gift to do that, then do that. If you love making people feel great when they walk in, join that hospitality team. If you frown all the time and hate people, please don't join the hospitality team. We don't want you there. But there's a place for you. Probably behind the scenes somewhere. I'm serious. Most of the work of God is done as service, as helps. Most of the kingdom of God is built by the gift of helps. I'm not so sure that I didn't find out this gift that I have without just jumping in and just being helpful. This church is built on a foundation of serving and helping. A bunch of people who say, well, man, I don't feel extremely gifted, but you need help, I can help you. You should not diminish that gift. That is a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led gift. When you jump in and you help, that's the Spirit of God through you being the helper that you are. That's important. We like to, unfortunately, look at some gifts as more important than other gifts, but it's not so. Every gift is important and fits together. When I came to this point, it reminded me, my gift is no greater than your gift. As a matter of fact, pastoral warning for you. If you're ever in a meeting or a part of a group where any person sets themselves apart as having some special anointing that you don't have, you need to run away from that group. The only reason a person in my position would want you to think that they have a special anointing is so that they could manipulate you, separate you from your senses, your choices, or your money. And you got to be aware, in these end times, that is actually happening. Listen, same Holy Spirit that I woke up with today, flowing through me, same Holy Spirit you've got flowing through you. Now, when he comes through me, there's different gifts and different abilities. And it ain't playing a guitar. It would make a bad sound. But it sounds okay when I'm talking. And you have the Spirit working through you. And the way the Spirit works through you, don't diminish it. That is the Spirit of God working through you. You have a gift and a part to play. The problem with the church today is that too many times people on the stage get more credit than they're due. It's just the Spirit working through us. We're serving. Now, the scripture's clear. Those who teach and those who lead deserve honor. We honor one another. We respect one another. But we don't think too highly of one another, nor do we think, well, what you've got is better than what I've got. No, no. No, you have the same Spirit. Yep. Balcony people didn't want to clap at that? I think there was a duel going on because I looked over here and then y'all started, yeah, yeah, get him. You know, you got the Spirit? Yes, you do. You got the Spirit. How about you? Now, if we start that, that's not going to go well. I should have more fun with what I do. You know, sometimes in church we think that until we're outside of our comfort zone doing things we've never done before, God isn't moving. That's just not true. I mean, yeah, he's going to stretch you, and yes, here's what's outside your comfort zone. Stop being selfish. All right? But that has nothing to do with how you're gifted. I believe that what you're inclined to do, the way he made you to, that's the gift. So you've got this gift that you've got that makes you kind of, you're a little introverted and work behind the scenes, and you're convinced that God's going to make you a public speaker. Like, why would he torture you and us? No, you're going to use that gift. The stretching in our Christian life is the dying to self and actually submitting that gift to him and letting him use it as he wants, where he wants, when he wants. The challenge is that you would give your precious time. I'm going to step back a little bit. Because we're so busy as Americans. Will I give the time to serve? Will I give the time to care? That's the stretching. That's the outside of your comfort zone because we're comfortable doing everything for ourselves, myself included. The stretching and lack of comfort zone is the fact that he'll have you focus on other people in his kingdom. But it's not like he's going to make you do something. I will not dance for God, okay? It ain't going to happen. So, well, David danced. Well, good for him. Because I can't do my body that way, and it would be not a blessing to anybody. I'd pull something. My daughters, they can dance like crazy. Oh, wonderful. They can sing. Wonderful. They have a gift. Your gift is different. Same Spirit. Variety keeps it interesting, but the same Spirit makes it all work together. Variety keeps it interesting. What a beautiful myriad of people in the body of Christ. And it's actually the church that when Jesus comes back, the world will be in awe. They will see us and be amazed at the myriad and the variety and the beauty of his church. That's who he's returning for. And he's not coming back. Unity does not mean uniformity. Unity does not mean uniformity. So we're unified, and it makes it even more beautiful when we're diversified in our unity. He loves that, and that's the way it's to be. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18, here's where Paul goes into it about the body. He says this, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, picture that. I'm a little scared. Where would be the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Whenever Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he always refers to the body. It has many members, but all, you know, you have many members, but one body. If your left leg wanted to go north and your right leg wanted to go south, you'd be in trouble and you'd be hurting. But it's one body, even though it's many members. Think about just for a minute your foot. What a thankless job, your foot. If your foot got upset, your foot would say, you know what? I've been carrying you around for a long time. I'm down here, I get no thanks. I don't ever get to say anything. I'm in this dark place, it's hot, smells bad. I'm kind of tired, and I'm faithful every single day. And every year you get a little heavier, and here I am carrying you around. This is my gift. You're welcome. I deserve a promotion, says the foot. I'm moving up to the kneecap. Like, no. You know what? I'm about sick and tired of being told what to do from the head. I'm going to go up there to the neck and give that mind a piece of my mind. No. Stay in your place. Be faithful with what God has given you. Be thankful for the part that you get to play and know that every part is equally important. If you don't think your big toe is important, drop something on it. You'll find out real quick. Your whole life is about your big toe. And this is the way it is in the body of Christ. There are many that are unseen. There's so much about me that's not seen. All of the internal organs, I promise you, I want to keep every single one of them. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not important. And every single one of us, vital to the body of Christ and the way that he designed it, and you are gifted. Get thankful for the way that you're gifted because he gifted you that way. Don't look and compare and say, well, I wish I could do that. Oh, I wish I could be that. Oh, I wish. Don't do that. He has decided how he would gift you and where you would fit. And the fact is, if you get thankful about where he's fitted you and you get engaged in that, you will find satisfaction deeper than you've ever known before. Now, here's the way you do this. The way that you do this, you could take a spiritual gifts assessment test online. They're all over the place. I personally don't like those things. Now, if you like them, go ahead and knock yourself out. I just don't. Usually when I take that test, I get the results and it's like, congratulations, you have the spiritual gift of martyrdom. I'm like, you can't practice it, you get to use it once. What's up with this? No. Sometimes those things are right. I don't have time. I prefer that everybody doesn't sit around taking tests, navel gazing, trying to figure out what is my gift. Listen, jump in. Now I'm an activator. I'm not saying this is in the Bible. This is just more my personality. Here's how I did it. Jump in. I started going to church. I got saved. I started going to church. I saw a need, and I started to meet it. I was meeting with junior high. There's three junior high kids, and I was just teaching them. About 3 weeks later, I said, this stinks. I hate it, and I quit. And I'm not kidding you. I felt like the Spirit of God on the inside of me said, if you don't do this in service to me, there is nothing more. I said, ooh. I went back to the youth pastor and said, not only the junior high, verily I say unto thee, the high school also I shall do. And do you know, as I started serving and sweeping floors and helping those kids and going to events and just meeting a need, driving a van and doing just serving, then my gifts started to come out as I was faithful in what God put in front of me. If you'll go sign up and just start doing something, go to the healing, if you just take that little bit of a step, those gifts will start coming out. A couple years later, I found out I can talk. They started putting me on the stage. They hired me. I was like, dear God, do I have to stand in front of people when I do this? They're like, yeah. I felt like the Spirit of God told me, listen, they're going to stare at you. You just have them stare at me. Just point them to me and we'll be fine. I found my gift. How did I find it? Just by jumping in. I want every single one of you to experience the thrill the thrill of being a connected, fitted part of the body of Christ for his glory. There is nothing better. And it's the same reward, the gentlemen and women who are working in the parking lot and loving life, and those who are making coffee, and those who are going to come and clean up after you after this service is done, and those who are working with kids, and those who are working in Bridge Builders right now with our special needs ministry, and those who are technical people who are working in a booth that you never see and they don't want to be seen, but they're up there pressing buttons and trying to make me look good. They have full-time work. They're technical and they love it. All of these things fitted together for the glory of God. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to close in prayer. And I want to read the serving value to you just as a reminder. This is one of our core values. One of our core values is this, serving. Jesus said that in his kingdom, the greatest are the ones who serve. So we serve each other. We serve in our church, and we serve our city, and we serve the hurting, and we serve the poor. I'm so thankful to be a part of a church. We serve the spiritually lost. This is us. And it's etched in our building. This is who we are. Small things, we believe. Small things done with great love will change the world. My prayer for you is that you would just take a step. And if you're serving, enjoy that serving and know you're an important, fitted part in the body of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that your Spirit is given to us and then you give us gifts so that we would fit together. It is so cool to think about all the variety of giftings just even here right now in this room. And the stuff that can be accomplished to further your kingdom and to see people come to know you and to see people fed and cared for and served and loved and given to and all the stuff that you want to do through your body. You've gifted us to do it. And then we get this thrill of being able to use our gifts for your kingdom. It's too good to be true. And we thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray for all of those who are here today who may not know exactly where they fit. For those who kind of have an idea, help all of us together to kind of take a step to figure that out. And Father, for those who are here today who may not know you yet, God, I pray they'd make that decision today. And if you're here today and you want to make that decision, you can just say this prayer on the inside with me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I do believe that you died for my sins on the cross. And I believe that I can accept you right now as my Savior, and I'll receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. So we just confess you right now as our Lord and Savior, as the one who forgives us. And we thank you, Father, that we now have a Savior we can live for. We confess that we need you. We thank you for coming into our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer and communion available at the front. Hope you have a great week. God bless you.